Alrighty, so we've got a guest on the line right here at Energy 103. It was Severe Weather Awareness Week, just ended like a day or two ago. And that got me thinking about how, you know, we think we know a lot about how to prepare for emergencies, but I bet you there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. So I contacted my friend over at Cornwall Office of Emergency Management, Kurt Hahn, who is here on the line with us to tell us about all things emergency preparedness. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Rose. Good morning, John. It's great to be on with you this morning to talk about this very important issue as we come into the spring season with severe weather.
Yeah, so you sent me some really great points, and if you don't mind, I'm going to go right through that list, and I'm going to. You had some fabulous little catchphrases to remember things by. I'm going to say that, and then you could talk about it. And then I also want to let everybody know this is such a great little thing that you could put together for me, Kurt. I'm going to post this on our Facebook page later today, so people will have it. Because if they're driving, you know, this is a lot of information. You don't want to miss it. So the first thing you say is to be weather aware. Can you explain that?
That's right. You want to know what's going on. So whether you're traveling or you're going to be planning activities outdoors, it's very important to monitor weather. Weather can change pretty rapidly, but the Weather Service does a great job in forecasting the possibility of severe weather. They put out several different notices, from including a watch to a warning, and it's important to know the difference. A watch means that storms are possible. A warning means that severe storms have been spotted and are expected to move through your area soon. So it's very important to take notice during those events.
I was so glad that you mentioned that, because I do the weather and people often like yell at me. They'll be like, you know, you said there was a storm watch. And I'm like, yeah, that means that it could happen. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's knowing that difference is really important, because like you said, when it's a warning, that's, you know, pretty urgent. That means it's been spotted in your area, correct?
That's right. And weather events have become more localized. It just seems that we have these trends in the weather where you can have a neighborhood that's getting inundated or a community that's being inundated, and the neighboring town or neighboring neighborhood is got nothing. So you really have to pay attention. You could see where our topography plays into that in the Hudson Highlands and our Hudson River. It's very important to just monitor the weather, take a look at the radar, make an informed decision about what actions to take to keep you and your family safe.
Exactly. So turn around, don't drown. We all know that, right? But when I read your description of it, there was some stuff in there that I had not known. So turn around, don't drown. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. Just only 2 feet of fast-moving water can float a car.
Amazing.
Water moving at 2 miles an hour can sweep cars off a road or a bridge. We experienced this during the July 9th flash flooding event last year. Just in Cornwall, we had a car that went over the bridge into the Canterbury Creek. And two people were rescued by the fire department just in time. That car got swept down through the creek, and when it was found, you could barely recognize it was even a car.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. And like you said, just 2 miles an hour of water.
That's it. That's it. Most flash flooding deaths occur in vehicles.
Wow. All right. Then when thunder roars, go indoors.
That's right. We don't want to get struck by lightning. If you can hear thunder, you're close enough to the storm to be struck by lightning. Go indoors. Get inside a hardtop vehicle with the windows up. It's great to follow the 30-30 rule. If the time between when you see a flash of lightning and hear thunder is 30 seconds or less, the lightning's close enough to strike you.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that long a period. I thought it had to be much closer. You know, we all count between the lightning and the thunder, and like you're like, oh, it's only like, you know, 6 seconds. It's close. Yeah, that is close, but 30 is close enough for it to hit you,
that's
to
right.
strike you?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you can hear it, it's close enough. That's a good rule of thumb. I love the weather apps that are available to us. We can see the lightning alerts, and there's some storms where you see incredible lightning activity. And we see all those posts on social media with spectacular photos of some of the lightning strikes.
I thought this was interesting, too. You said if you feel your skin tingle or your hair stand on end, oh my gosh, squat low to the ground or on the balls of your feet. Place your hands on your knees and your head between them to minimize contact with the ground. So just feeling that tingling means that something's going on.
That's right. Speaking with those who have actually been struck by lightning and survived, they can all recount that they feel their skin tingle or wow. feels like the hair is standing up on their head on end. And they did those people didn't squat low. They were out either golfing or enjoying the outdoors when they were struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm. So now tornadoes, we don't have a lot of them in our area, but they do happen, right?
That's right. In Orange County, we've got 13 recorded tornadoes in Orange County since 1950. Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And we've had EF0s and EF1s. And we just recall, you know, back in May of 2018,
yep.
we had two people killed in Newburgh, one in the town of Newburgh. A woman was killed when a tree fell on her car over on Albany Post Road. And then on Robinson Avenue in Newburgh, there was an 11-year-old girl that was tragically killed by a tree when she was helping her mother unload groceries to get in the house and out of the rain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you don't think of tornadoes being possible in an area where the terrain is so hilly, but it does happen.
It happens, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So then, just in general, you know, let's get prepared for stuff. You know, give us some general tips.
So we can just recall, you know, the impacts of severe weather on our lives. So from the inability to get fuel because of widespread power outages. Communication systems being down, cell phone networks can be congested or cell phone towers can be damaged from storms. It's important to have backup communication plans. If you're not able to get in touch with loved ones and family members, what to do, have meeting places, have areas to leave messages to direct family and what to do. It's important to have fuel supplies on hand for your generator, food, medicine, child care considerations, if your child care facility is going to be closed for an extended period of time.
Right.
We want to make sure we have emergency cash on hand if the ATMs aren't working, first aid kits. It's important to learn CPR, first aid, how to stop severe bleeding. All those are very important.
Yeah, I heard in the governor's article, I guess it was a press release that she had from last week, there was something about being able to take a New York State Citizen Preparedness Corps training. Is that something, do you know about that or where to do that in our area?
Yeah, we've offered several Citizen Preparedness Corps trainings in the Cornwall community. There's been several in Orange County and numerous throughout New York State. Nearly 400,000 New York State residents have taken advantage of it. One of the best features of the training is you actually get a preparedness bag, a little backpack with some items, including flashlight, first aid kit. You want to add a battery operated weather alert radio to that as well, just to have a backup for weather alert warnings. So it's a great class to take. It's relatively quick, about an hour, hour and a half. And you
great.
Get to talk with emergency managers and other first responders that put on the courses to learn about valuable information to keep yourself, your family, and also your pets. Let's not forget our pets. We want to keep our pets safe, too.
That's right. Gosh, the pets. All right. Well, this has been really amazing. And, you know, I want to stress again to everybody, you know, we all think we know it. And sure, we have the information, you know, here and there in our brains. But I think it's good to, you know, just like you said, like put it all in one spot, you know, have this like a handy little notebook or something where all the numbers are that you need and what you need to be looking for and maybe put a package together, like you said, with flashlights, batteries, the radio. The radio is so important, right? Because it's like the only thing that would work in something when in an emergency, oftentimes when you don't have, you know, internet or anything.
That's right. FM radio is reliable. That's what the National Weather Service bases all their alerts on, is the weather radio network, and you're able to get critical information just in time to keep you and your family safe.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Kurt. We really appreciate you being here. Kurt Hahn, Cornwall Office of Emergency Management. We're going to post all this great information for you out there listening on our Facebook group page, 103 Energy 103 Mornings with John and Rose, and also I'm sure Cornwall Emergency Office of Emergency Management has all this information on their website as well, and we'd love to talk to you again. Hopefully we won't have too many terrible things happen over the spring and summer season, but we'll keep you on hand, Kurt, in case we need you.
Great to be on with you and John, and everyone stay safe. Thank you.